friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful verse. The book of Luke, chapter 19 and 10 is, that says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that was lost." Listen, friend, I'll tell you what I believe, what I preach. As an old country preacher, friend, I believe, listen, in an oh-so salvation. I don't believe you can get something as big as God to come and live in your heart to not know it. And I know preachers that say that, but I want to tell you something, friend. I believe that we can be saved and know it and live in the assurance of it and the joy of it, not only now, but for eternity. Well, Debbie and I are happy that you have tuned in and decided to spend a little time with us this day. We appreciate you. We love you. And boy, I'll tell you, we need you. You may not believe this, but you're such an integral part of this little radio ministry. I've said this many, many times over the years. Wouldn't do me any good to be speaking if you weren't there listening. And oh, look, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you. I want to glorify God. I want to rightly divide the book. And I want to edify those that listen in. And if you happen to be lost, I'd like to convince you of your need of Jesus as your Savior. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of Romans. I'll tell you what's the truth. You talking about a great book. You talking about reaching high heights spiritually and deep depths also theologically. You just go to the book of Romans. I don't know if it can be surpassed by any book, the Old Testament or the New, but I'll tell you, it's exactly what God wanted it to be, and He's given it to us, friend, in His inspired and preserved Word. But before I share the message with you, I've got a song queued up, tuned up, that Debbie's going to do. It's one of my favorites, and I say that a lot about the ones I'm doing, but they are, friend. Look, she's written some great songs. The title of it is "Saved by Grace," and let me say this. That's the only way that you can be. Hey, enjoy the song. Meet you back after she's done with the message. And I trust that God will bless us both in our efforts. Enjoy.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, "Step in the light." He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved
wonderful friend. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's the only way you can be saved. The only way, and I repeat this and that truth through this message today, friend. That's the only way you can be saved. We're saved by the grace of God, or we're not saved at all, friend. And if you aren't saved, listen, I bring you good news. You can be saved. God, listen, wants you to be saved, and it'd be a terrible thing if you die lost, seeing in light of the fact of what Jesus has died for us at Calvary. There is no reason for any man, woman, boy, or girl to die lost, and yet men and women everywhere around the world, throughout the world, would die lost today because they refuse to accept the truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Book of Romans chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 6, read down through verse 10, and look, friend, that'll be way more than I'm able to handle, but I've got a couple of thoughts I want to get out of this that I trust will be a blessing to you. Before I even begin the message, I'm going to give you my text. I'm going to talk about two tremendous truths. I mean, to tell you, I wish I could create a text in my mind and my heart that would give these two truths that we're going to look at that are clearly delineated in this passage. I'd like to have a text, friend, that would just grab the heart and the mind and the soul of any individual that would see it. They'd want to come in and listen, want to come in and look and see what the Word of God has to say. But listen to what the Word of God says in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 6. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Pay attention to that phrase. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But look at the next word. But God's going to put a contrast on it. Paul said, look, there may be occasion, there may be reason, there may be instances when someone willingly took the place of another. Even someone that they didn't know very well. But watch this. But God commended or declared or manifested or made known His love toward us. When did He do it? In that when we were yet sinners, at enmity against God, haters of God in reality, Christ died for us. Now look, I'm going to stop right there and say this just briefly. Nobody has any problem with that phrase. About everybody that I would talk to, everybody that is listening or not listening. Look, if we were to talk to them about Christ and His death, they'd say, well, we know He died. We understand why He died. We believe that without a doubt. But look, it doesn't stop there. The message does not stop there. Hey, I got news for you. According to the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. We ought to rejoice in that. We ought to rear back and say glory, hallelujah. We ought to praise God. We ought to lift our hearts, our hands, and our voice up to Him. And I tell you what, the passage doesn't stop because the message doesn't stop. Listen, He not only died for our sins, but He was buried. He was buried. But that He was buried, and that on the third day, according to Scriptures, He arose from the dead. And you know what? He lives. He lives forevermore. Now look at this. He said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And look at these next two words. It's coming up in the next verse too. He said, much more, and in the verse after it, much more then. Now listen to this. Listen to the logic of Paul. Listen to the truth of the Word of God. Listen to the reality of what Christ has done for us, is doing, and forever shall do for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, or since, or in light of the fact, when we were yet sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Here's the phrase again. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I'm going to talk to you again today. Here's the text about about these two things, two tremendous truths. You say, what are they, preacher? Well, the first one we know, the first one we accept, the first one we rejoice in many, many times, and we should, and it is the fact that Christ died for our sins. But oh, wait just a minute. His life, hey, listen, friend, didn't end on a cross. His life, I didn't end in a tomb. But on the third and appointed morning, He came out from among the dead, friend, so that you and I could be justified and justified forever. Listen, friend, the two tremendous facts, the two tremendous truths are these. Christ died for our sins. But you know what else He does? Listen, friend, we're not only saved by His death, but we're saved by His life. And I say glory to God for that. I say glory to God for that, don't you? Now look, this is a great book. And this chapter, absolutely, has to be one of the greatest that we find in the book of Romans. You say, why, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a passage that's filled with truths that promote peace and assurance and hope for the believer. And boy, we need that, don't we? We need that all the time. Not only in this amazingly strange time in the history of man, but mankind has always needed to have the peace of God that passes understanding, the assurance that comes only from God. And the hope, friend, the hope that comes with that. In the first three chapters of this book, penned by Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Paul proves all men are lost. Paul proves that all men stand guilty before God. And he proves that no one can be saved by good works or by the keeping of the law. But I'll tell you what Paul goes on to say. He declares clearly, he declares emphatically, he declares powerfully and without apology that the only way to be saved is by the grace of God. And may I say this, it's the only way man has ever been able to be saved, from Adam and Eve in the garden after they disobeyed God, right on down through, friend, listen, to Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, to a man by the name of Abraham, who had justification imputed unto him, right down to the Apostle Paul, right down to you and I, friend. I don't care who we are, don't care what kind of sinners we've been. Paul said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only did he say that, but listen to what else I believe he said. Where is it at? I don't see it right now, but I'll tell you what, friend, he lets us know that there's none righteous, no, not one. But that's another message for another time. But as we look at this, we find that Paul continues in this passage by setting forth the benefits of salvation before us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And he continues on. Do you know what, friend? Because I've been saved, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, we have a standing with God that's sure. Hey, friend, it's unalterable. It's unchangeable. It's unaffected by the enemy or even by any other force you could think of. How we have a standing with God that's permanent. And that standing is that God declares us just in light of the work that Christ did on Calvary. Listen, friend. And he declares us, not makes us just, even while we are still in a sinning state. Isn't that amazing? Paul continues, friend, listen, by setting forth not only the great truths of justification in this passage, but we ought not overlook his logic. Oh, look, please, please pay attention to the two words that we find twice, once in verse 9, once in verse 11. And look, you'll find it throughout the book of Romans, because it is a much repeated phrase. It's actually one of the key phrases here in the book of Romans. He says, much more. Isn't that amazing? Much more. Not just more, but much more. Hey, listen, friend. It's one thing to know you're saved. It's one thing to know that we're saved by grace, by the substitutionary death of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, it's something else to know that we're kept by the power of God. So how can we know? How can we know it'll last? We remember when we nailed at an altar. We remember when we repented of our sin. We remember when Christ was made real to us. We remember how when we became alive in Christ. Well, I want you to know something. The verse after this chapter, Paul gives us the blessings of being justified and those things that that provides. But he also gives us, in the last verses of this chapter, the basis of those blessings or the reasons for those blessings. Look at what he said in verse 6 and 7 and 8. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, friend, how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. Do you know what, friend? Listen, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they turned their back on God. They walked away from God. And ever since that time, I'll tell you what, a man has had his back towards God. He's had enmity against God in his heart. In fact, he's hated God. In reality, that's what that comes down to. God's never changed His position. God's always where He has been and shall be. But man has turned his back on God. And you know what? God did through His Son Jesus Christ in sending me this world through a virgin's womb, allowing Him to live sinlessly among us for 33 and a half years, allowing Him to die substitutionally for us. You know what He did? Bless God, He brought reconciliation up for us. He found a way through the death of His Son. Bless God when He suspended Him between the heaven and the earth on an old rugged cross outside of the north wall of the city of Jerusalem, where He laid upon Him my sin, your sin, and the sin of all the world. And you know what? God listened. God brought reconciliation to mankind. He brought God and man back together through the death of His Son. He made it possible for man to be turned back to God, to be reconciled, to be justified. Oh, how precious that it is. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Hey, listen, friend, I'm begging you today, sinner friend, be reconciled to God. But wait just a minute. God didn't just stop there. He didn't just stop bringing us back to God. Notice again that phrase, much more. Hey, there's no doubt about it. God undeniably proved His love for us in allowing His Son to die for us. And if you agree with that, would you say amen? But now, friend, listen, it goes to clear thinking. It's logical is what I wanted to say, to think that now that we are His children, isn't it reasonable to think that He would love us more, much more? How Paul said, then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. How can that be? Well, for if, or since, or in light of the fact when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's the first great truth. Here's the second. He said, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now let me tell you this. It's not the life I live or you live. But wait just a minute. Don't read anything into that I do not mean. We ought to live a holy life. We ought to live a separated life. We ought to live a godly life. We ought to live a life like Christ. We ought to be exemplary. We ought to let others see our good works so they can glorify God, which is in heaven. They ought to see the fruit we bear. They ought to see Christ in us, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us. We ought to display all of those things. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Now that we're the children of God, I want you to know God loves us in a way that He wants us to know without a doubt that He's going to keep us, that we're saved, and we're assured of that salvation. There's nothing we can do, I bless God, to change the fact that we're the children of God. Oh, listen, friend, listen. I want to mention Christ's will and His testimony. You'll find some thoughts on that in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Can I tell you something? For a will to be executed, for a will to go in force, for a will to go and mean something to the people that receive it, who are family members of the one that's died. You know what? Somebody had to die. In order that to be executed, the person whose will it is had to die. But oh, listen, friend, I'm about to have myself a fit in light of Christ and His will. He did something that no one else has done. Hey, listen, mankind will appoint an executor of their will. Somebody that they trust will bring to pass what is in their will after they're gone. But you know what Jesus did? Glory to God. Hey, listen, after He wrote His will, He wrote it in blood. He died so that it could be executed, so that it could be real and meted out to those that are a part of His family. But I want you to know something. In order to be sure that it would be executed rightly, He came out from among the dead. He Himself, who is dead, is alive, and He's alive forevermore. Do you see the logic here? He said, since or if, when we were enemies, God declared or manifested His love for us. We are saved by the death of His Son. How much more should we not rest in the truth that because we're His children, and that because He proved He loved us, He'll keep on saving us by the life that He now lives. In the book of Romans chapter 8, listen to this, friend, in chapter 8. Where is it at? Oh, I believe it's not. Well, it's in verses 31 through 34. He said, what shall we say then to these things? If or since God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall anything have the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In chapter 9, verse 24 of Hebrews, for Christ has not entered in to the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the thing or of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Doesn't that make you want to shout? Hey, listen, friend, I want to tell you something. Christ is alive today as a testimony that our sins, listen, forever are paid for. Listen, in order for that to not be true, in order for God to lose us or for us to be lost after we come to trust Christ as our Savior, Christ would have to be dragged down from heaven. He'd have to be removed from the throne that He's sitting on at the right hand of His Father. Hey, listen, friend, for what He has done and what He's doing, listen, friend, He'd have to be dragged down from heaven in order for us to fail. And look, can I tell you, can I be real theological here? That just ain't going to happen. Man's not saved by law. Man's not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We're to live by faith, by grace. There's no other thing that can save us. Christ died for us. He lives for us. And glory, hallelujah, He's coming for us. Bless His holy name. He saved us from the penalty of sin. He's saving us currently from the power of sin. Bless His holy name. One day soon, He's going to save us from the presence of sin. Have you trusted Him? Have you called on Him? Have you looked to Him? Have you gone before Him with a broken spirit, a broken contrite heart, and in repentance say, God, I'm sorry for sin. Well, if that's true, He saved you. Bless God, He'll keep you. He'll keep you forever. He'll keep us not only in light of the fact that He died for us, but that He lives for us. He ever liveth, friend, to make intercession for us. He lives to keep us saved. Hey, two tremendous truths. He died for us, but He lives for us too. Hey, let's bless His holy name until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.